Okay, you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show. After that fleeting break, thanks for all your calls and comments coming in. Keep them coming, of course, 086 60 25,000. Right, Wellness Wednesday time now, and I'm joined on the programme by the CEO of Liquid Therapy, Tom Lousy. Is it Tom? I wasn't given a phonetic on this one. I apologise.
It's all right. I've had my whole life of that being pronounced incorrectly. Lousy.
Lousy, okay. I'll remember that. Right, good morning to you, Tom. Thanks for your time. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me today.
Okay, so liquid therapy. It may not be abundantly obvious to people just seeing those two words what it actually is. So maybe you as the pro can give us a rundown.
Yeah, so Liquid Therapy is a charity based in South Donegal that provides a range of services and programmes to young people who just need a bit more support or a bit more understanding in being able to enjoy the ocean in its various forms, whether it's experiencing the beach for the first time or bodyboarding, surfing, swimming, diving over waves. We're here to provide the right level of support that lets each individual reach their aquatic potential.
And there are young people who maybe are unable to participate in mainstream opportunities but can avail of liquid therapy and the activities within. So what kind of children are you working with? I presume it's a broad spectrum of children.
Yeah, it's really broad. It's anybody who just needs, who can't participate. So whether that's maybe like a physical additional need that somebody might have, maybe it's the social connection that they're needing, like a higher level of support, and maybe there's an intellectual challenge there. And in many cases, it's just being able to provide the time and the space that lets that person go on their journey rather than having to keep up with a group, or if it is a group setting, it's that group has the right level of support so they can have all those social benefits too, and it's not an exclusive or exclusionary experience as well, because, you know, it's the summertime. It's all about going to the beach and dipping your toes in the water and having ice creams on the beach, or it's about camps and shared experiences. And yet for so many people, that's not always readily available in the summertime.
Yeah, for sure. And is there something particularly soothing about the ocean that makes this work?
Yeah, I think we all have our favourite beach and our favourite beach memory, don't we? It's such an accessible environment. You can be enjoying the scenery and an ice cream while your kids or your friends are building sandcastles. It's such a safe environment, isn't it, with that kind of gradient approach to water and the sensory experience of hearing the ocean or trying a new activity, mastering a new sport. It's such a good playground, and if you fall over, you're only landing in water, aren't you? So it's a place that really lets you experience the physical benefits, the social benefits, the emotional and well-being places. It's such a good platform for learning, and then as a parent or as a carer or as a sibling, you're sharing that environment. You're seeing somebody thrive. Yeah. You're seeing the ability of an individual when quite often people see the disability.
And does the person obviously grow through the experience in that, and it all depends on the individual, of course, but do you see a lot whereby the change or the benefit to an individual extends beyond their time with liquid therapy?
Oh, definitely. I think if you take anybody and give them one-to-one coaching, they do a lot better than in a group lesson environment. So we're providing that one-to-one coaching, which gives those participants like core confidences. And so often what we've learned is that their experiences go far beyond like liquid therapy. We say goodbye to them eventually, but then we hear that they've then had that ability to go and try a new activity or engage in a club in a different way, or go and find other opportunities or other organisations like Liquid Therapy who may be operating in a different environment.
And also too, I think what I love about this particularly, or not particularly, but significantly, is the sibling camps, because often, dependent on the individual, again, there's not many other necessarily camps whereby it can be that shared experience. And you talked of the wonderful memories. And I would say for many people listening, when you were painting that picture of the sand and the ice cream and the sea, you know, it brought them back to their childhood, or indeed it could be last week. But it's those memories are shared with someone else close to them, a sibling, mum or dad or whatever. And that's what you're facilitating as well, where it might not ordinarily happen necessarily.
Yeah, definitely. I think for the general population, there's either a program for your mainstream, in inverted commas, kids, or that those young people that require a hell of a support, and especially in the ocean, which is quite an it's quite a unique environment, to be able to find something where families can share in that experience, and then those parents and those carers are on the beach watching that shared experience, and they're then in a really restorative environment too, relaxing. That's really rich. This year we're even starting like a mother, this week we're starting like a mothers and daughters program, where actually those connections and those shared experiences can be facilitated, so that, yeah, you've got those talking points in the car on the way home, isn't it? You've both got sand between your toes. You're like going, oh, do you remember that wave? Or do you remember like that sandcastle? It just is such a rich place that the more you can share in that space, the stronger and more rich those experiences are.
It also comes off the back of, fantastic female role models succeeding in water and all that kind of stuff. And it all kind of ties in. The timing's wonderful in that regard. And I presume certain programs have different criteria as well, don't they? Tailored for different groups and different individuals.
Yeah, so we will run from, say, running our wheelchair participation program. So what's really excited is we've got the first surfboard in the country that has a seat on it that lets wheelchair participants surf in a really safe way. It was funded by Donegal Sports Partnership, and we were able to like start. We've been training on it for 3 months. It takes four of the team to provide a supported experience, and we're able to do that. You travel then through that kind of paradigm to our mental wellbeing programs, where you're providing very small group experiences, so there's social benefits. So right across the spectrum, liquid therapy is able to provide the appropriate amount of support, but still provide that autonomous experience without it being like completely a controlled, risk-free environment.
But I think we can fully trust you guys in this. I mean, you've developed this. This is your thing. You know what works, what doesn't work, and what's best for all different types of people, because it is a charity. There is a core team of staff and lots of volunteers that work with you to provide these services, primarily through the summer.
Yeah, that's right. We have our core team of six this summer, but we have an army of volunteers of up, I think we have 40 this year.
Wow.
Which is letting us provide services to families, to community groups, to the health service. We're working with schools, and we're working in the sports sector too. So there's a really strong network across Donegal where we're incredibly supported in providing the right training, working with other organisations and learning from their skill sets, like Vision Sport Ireland or the Irish Wheelchair Association. And that means we can create a really unique experience, the only kind in the country. I mean, it's incredible because we see now families coming every year from across the country for their family holiday to Donegal because they get to do these activities.
And the fact that it is the only one, because obviously, I think we spoke to you back right at the beginning of this, but I know I think you're on with Ray Darcy and have had national, I'm sure there's been lots of national opportunities over time, if I might be mistaken, but I'm sure you've spoken nationally. The fact that someone in another part of the country hasn't said, wow, look what they're doing on Rosnala. Maybe it's the way that you've built it makes it hard to replicate. I don't know, but it's a credit to you guys, but also a little surprising that this remains sort of the only service of this kind in the country.
Yeah, completely. I think you could have nailed it there, Greg. It was born in a really unique environment, born out of a really strong community. And right at the early doors, I remember speaking to Highland Radio probably like over a decade ago.
Yeah, for sure. I remember it. Yeah.
But we've had the likes of Donegal Supports Partnership, the County Council, like everybody's just provided incremental support along the way that has let us grow really organically. There's definitely been a few years when we're like, oh, this could be our last year. Mm. But I think our societal understanding of the importance of like that social prescription and equal opportunities and inclusion is like really strong now, that actually I think if we wanted to stop, I don't think we'd be able to.
But, you know, in fairness, and we've seen it with the support of No Barriers not too far from me here, and I'm not sort of saying that they're exactly the same thing, but there does seem to be an attitude, in government at the moment that these types of activities or different ways of doing things are being supported and seen as, you know, part of services that are provided to people more generally. Angie Gallagher has her son Ronan, who taking part in Liquid Therapy. Angie, good morning to you.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So what's Liquid Therapy to you and your family, Angie?
Well, then we started Liquid Therapy a few years ago with the Autism Family Support Group. We used to do a Volunteer Tuesday, and I think we used to get a few slots a year, but it's become so popular now that it's only down to one slot. Ronan started then, and we also did the other brothers and sisters got a session, and they just absolutely loved it. And so now I actually go onto the website myself and book it through Liquid Therapy. And we did the siblings last year. We did the siblings camp. So that was Jay, Isha, Ronan and Harry all got doing that. So they met new friends. So they have just kind of like where they get to introduce themselves and they play games on the beach and all before they go into the water. And they meet people kind of in the same situation as them, and they have a brother or sister with additional needs. So just then they're going into the water, you just see their confidence growing every single day when they're finally able to get up on the board and that. And like, none of my kids are swimmers, but they're able to go out on the boards and do the surfing, and they just absolutely love it. And like that there, we've booked it again for the end of the year. We've got the siblings camp again this year. Now we're very lucky.
Brilliant.
And Ronan is going to be in the camp with them this year, because one of the child in the siblings camp needs a one-to-one, which is going to be running this year. So it means that the rest of them can still come along with them this year. And, you know, it's just, it's great that, as you say, that they're able to do this camp together.
I mean, as parents, we often focus completely on our children and what it means to them. Yeah. But what must it mean to you, Angie, do you know, seeing all of your kids sort of in a shared activity and having fun together and snapping the pics and being able to bank those memories? It must be really lovely as a mum to be able to see that.
Oh, it's great. Like, and one of the best benefits is they're tired afterwards. No, I'm only messing, but it's
no,
just,
you're not. I know all about it. Go on.
But it's just great. As you say, like, there's not many camps that they can do together. Yeah. And like, sometimes they'd be saying, why is Ronan not doing this? And like that, I mean, it doesn't mean that they have to hang off each other, but like, they all go and do their own individual thing. But it just means that they can all be there at the one time. And even for something simple as running up and down to Ross Nowla, when they're all in it together, like, it's great. Do you know what I mean? Instead of like Ronan being on a separate day, and then even you're getting someone else to mind the kids and stuff like that there. It's just, it's a great benefit for them to be all able to go together. And there's no difference. There's no such thing as this is your ability and this isn't your ability. Or do you know what I mean? Like, they're all able to go into the water together. Nobody knows who's got any ability or disability or anything any different. Do you
so
know what I mean?
And even...
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, they're all the same when they're in the water. And the good thing is as well, is like, nobody's pressurized to go into the water. You know, like a lot of times there, sometimes with Ronan, like, he's not ready just to go in straight away. So they'll play with him on the sand and, you know, just build sandcastles or do something like that there. Like, it's not like we have to get in and we have to do the surf. And they don't, if the child's not, very, very much child led, you know what I mean? So whatever child wants to do, that's what they'll do. They might just be splashing, might just sit on the board, or might even just sit on the board on the sand. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be that he has to learn to surf. You know what I mean? It's just all about them having fun and being included and doing stuff at their level or whatever. I mean, like, as I said, my kids couldn't swim and they were like up on the board last year. Like, and that was just, you know what I mean? Their confidence, but even like from like, say, even mobility, like, it helps with everything as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and as you
I was going
like,
to say, Angie, you see the growth and development and fun that the likes of Ronan and your other children have. And if it was only within the camps, that's fine. But do you sort of see them carrying the benefits or particularly Ronan, see him carrying the benefits beyond the camps and into his life more generally?
Well, they do, but as well, as you said, like even coming back, as Tom had said, you know, come back in the car, do you remember that? Do you remember that, Ronan? Or Ronan was able to get up on that. And, you know, it forms a bond that they can't, do you know what I mean? Like, if your other kids can go do certain things together that Ronan isn't able to do, do you know what I mean, realistically? Yeah. So, I mean, they're able to talk about it then, and they have the photos together, and they're looking at them and stuff. Do you know what I mean? But there is, I mean, socially, it's very good for them. Plus, as you said, it does form that bond, do you know what I mean, that they can have, and they're able to do this together, like, lovely. You know what I mean? For a lot of stuff, as even I know there's a lot of charities and all about, and then there's some things that's only for the kids with the disability, do you know what I mean? So it means that they can do it, you know what I mean, as a group. They can do it together as a family, like it is deaf. But I mean, the benefits, like deaf now, even just like that silence, Ron loves just going into the water and just lying with maybe his ears down and stuff. I mean, there's nothing more relaxing than that, you know what I mean? They're definitely like relaxed and all, and they come out of it, even though they're on a high for what they were able to do, it's still, you know what I mean, it's just great benefits, like, definitely.
And would Ronan, from a sensory perspective, ordinarily, would he avoid noise or noisy environments, or...
Well, at the times, it depends. Because he has so many brothers and sisters and cousins, he's actually not very sensory to noise, but he will wear his ear defenders now, and he will wear them when he goes to, but it's more for a comfort thing, I think, more than actual the noise of the water. But there is just that he does love now lying in the water. I think that's a great silence or something for him. Do you know what I mean? It's great comfort, like
because
calmness,
that's why I was asking Tom earlier on, and Tom, you can come in at any time about if there is particular sort of calming benefits to the open water, because it can be quite noisy and wishy and washy and the mass of it and all that kind of stuff. But Tom, is there something particularly about the water
Completely. Like the research and our understanding of our connection to water, the mental health benefits of being around blue space, is so well evidenced now. We've been part of international studies about looking at the benefits of blue space. But from that sensory thing, you know, you've got think about your five senses. You've got taste and the toast of the sea. You've got the smell of the ocean. That's the movement, the rocking mechanism of the waves. Is very regulatory. You've got the tactileness of the sand and the water. So it's a complete sensory immersion.
Nature's playground, isn't it?
Oh, which is just really calming. And the way we see the challenges in the sensory space isn't nothing to do with the ocean. It's actually when it's windy.
Yeah.
That noise and sensation can become quite overstimulating. But what's happening in the water itself is really therapeutic.
Okay, Angie, listen, thanks for your time. Have a lovely day. Love to all.
Thank you very much indeed.
Take care. You know, on the face of it, when you say 6-core team, 40-plus volunteers, it seems like a big team, but there's a huge demand on it. And as you say, it's not only necessarily individuals, but there could be groups and also two people looking to come on holiday and give their children in different areas or their young adults or whatever the age category might be, that experience. I mean, if you were better resourced, could you grow further, or given sort of the attention to detail and the systems that you've put in place, is this really the right size for liquid therapy?
I think in Ross now, I think we just opened the surf centre 2 years ago and really trying to provide. Our challenge now isn't just to be accessible, but it's to be not inclusive, but accessible as well. So making sure the right infrastructure is there. Donegal County Council won a great award about accessible beaches. And that's such a great platform for us to build on. In Ross now, we have a real problem that there's just like portaloos, which really aren't fit for purpose, but now in the surf centre over the last few years, we've managed to put like clinical beds, and we're bringing in hoists.
Oh wow!
So that there is a much more dignified experience. Our next goal is to be able to travel around the county, to do a rural roadshow, to go to families living in rural isolation or in small communities where we have such a wealth of beautiful coastline, but we don't maybe have the services in those areas. Yeah. And we see families, like I said, who are prepared to travel. But I think it will be great if we're able to travel to them. And we're working really hard to get that funding and infrastructure in place. Because at the moment, we're relying on volunteer cars and volunteer, you know, hours, whereas actually, like, we need to be resilient and sustainable in serving the whole county, not just families who can make it to South Donegal.
All right. If people check out the website, is it primarily liquidtherapy.org?
Yeah, liquidtherapy.ie or our socials. I could say at the moment you'll just be signing up for a waiting list, but if you're on our mailing list, then we can start our journey with you, because our goal is once we engage a family, we will prioritise staying with you for your journey for as long as you need us.
Right, really significant. Our son Connor took part in Liquid Therapy at the weekend. I can't praise them enough. The staff and facilities are amazing, and I could probably do about 5 minutes of those, but it's clear that... there's something going on here that's not just, it's not just, there's something more, there's something very significant happening down in Rosnala. There's just no doubt about that. Tom, thanks very much. I really do appreciate your time.
Thank you, Greg, for having me on.
Take care of yourself.
Have a lovely day.
You too. It's been our pleasure, okay? That is Tom Lauzé, CEO of Liquid Therapy, 086 60 25,000. That's our number, by the way. Get in touch with us. Living in an area, being a young mum, knowing nobody with a newborn baby, these meetups saved me. And being able to talk to other mummies my age has helped more than anyone will love. Well, anyone will know. Much love. That's lovely. Sinead's infectious too, I think. I only had a brief chat with her in a radio environment, but I just get the feeling she gets it. So proud of Sinead for speaking today. I can never thank her enough for setting up this group. Isn't that lovely? Let me see. If there are more on that topic rather than me jumping from one to other. Wishing Maggie Nora O'Donnell a very happy 100th birthday. Happy birthday, Maggie Nora O'Donnell. This is coming in from Mary Rogers and all your friends at Mahery Senior Social Club and the Three Marys. See her later at the party in Cashlanore. Well, the Three Marys, I'm sure, will be providing plenty of entertainment, as they always do. Three lovely ladies. Another lovely lady, 100 today, Maggie Nora O'Donnell. I hope you have I have no doubt you're going to have the most wonderful day. No doubt about that. One of the things I don't mind flying anymore. I used to hate it, but I don't mind flying. But my fear would be, not fear, but your concern would be in a confined space, something going wrong, okay? Either, you know, passengers getting leery or an engine smoking. The second one probably slightly more worrying than the first. But Stuart's featured in the papers today. He's from Hornhead in Dunfanaghy, of course, and had to intervene with a passenger on a flight with Ryanair. Good morning, Stuart. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you were flying home, were you, or flying out?
No, I was flying from Manchester to Lanzarote on the 1st of July.
Right, so you're up in the air. What happened?
We're about an hour into the flight, or three quarters of an hour into the flight, and this guy was lying, sleeping, he was sitting on the outside at the aisle seat.
Yeah.
And when he woke up, he just went, I don't know what he had taken before he got on the plane, but when he woke up, he just went completely crazy, you would swear that the guy was possessed, so to speak.
My word.
But he went completely crazy with his girlfriend, who was sitting beside him. And he was punching away at the plane seats and punching the overhead luggage is put and swinging at her. And, you couldn't even have took your camera out to film it because you'd have been afraid that he would have come at you. Do you know what I mean? He was really, it was scary enough.
Yeah. And so what's the protocol in that situation? Or at least I suppose we can only talk of this flight. What did the cabin staff do?
Nothing.
Could you see them observing it, or did they disappear, or?
They stood at a distance, and everybody around was pushing the wee button above their head, as if, I don't know. But this guy just completely went berserk, and she was roaring and crying and shaking, and people were trying to console her, and he was getting into their face,
So he was getting up out of his seat and squaring up too, was he?
Oh, he was going crazy, But, wow. I mean, whenever there was one guy and three or four women, cabin crew, whenever he came down to speak to him, he wasn't listening to him at all. And eventually they got him to go to the back of the plane, and to settle down there. And we were promised, at that stage, I thought we'd be diverted, 100% would be diverted because he was a big fella, but we were speaking to the cabin crew and they said, no, he'll be arrested when we arrive, when we land. So everybody, like, I mean, everybody was sitting still and shock about what happened. And I would say within an hour, he landed back down the plane and the whole proceeding just went completely crazy then again. Oh, wow. And this guy was standing chatting to his girlfriend and they had been drinking, like they were drinking out of a bottle of vodka, I was told then afterwards was their second bottle between them all. And they just sat vaping on the seats and the stewards were up and down and they didn't want to
know. There was a group of them and was there? And
there were three of them and then they must have befriended these people in the airport.
Right.
And they were all standing up on the aisle together, like, but they were drinking away out of, like, buying Fanta or Coke or whatever, and they were just pouring the vodka into the, yeah.
Right, so...
I've seen one bottle. Pardon?
At what point, then, did you feel that you had to get involved? Because, listen, it's a unique set of circumstances here, because it's regular people. There's no security. You're at least an hour... from landing and security, this person, you cannot actually say with any certainty what this person is capable of, or if his mates all of a sudden, or even his girlfriend all of a sudden starts saying, you leave him alone, and starts getting on to anyone.
Totally,
so what point did you feel that... Yeah, go ahead.
You're just trying to eye up the situation, and the people around me, like, all the women, like, the women were crying and roaring, and like, and he didn't give a shit. Like, pardon me French, but he didn't care. And then this guy got up to try and to calm the situation down, and he just stuck his nose. You know when you stand with somebody's face into your face, and then he pushed him with the power of his neck. Just he pushed him to the ground. Like,
wow.
And
so before we get to what you did, because what we've talked about so far seems to sort of, were the two phases to this? In other words, the initial phase and then the man being removed to the back of the plane and then a second phase where he came back up again and started causing aggro.
Oh, he came back up about an hour later.
Yeah, but Ryanair don't reference that in their press release. They say, and we'll get to the action now, they say that the crew defused the situation, they moved him, the disruptive passenger, to the other end of the aircraft for the remainder of the flight, which landed in Lanzarote as scheduled without any further disruption. That's clearly not true, Stuart.
That's rubbish.
Yeah.
Pure rubbish. That is absolute rubbish. I tried to contact Ryanair afterwards, and all avenues, every message, anything I sent them, I got nothing back. Absolutely nothing. That was the most disappointing part about it.
Mm.
And, I mean, I don't care if they hold their hands up and say, well, I have to do something about it. They're going to end up having to stop people buying drink going on holidays, in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're going to start drinking it on the plane, and it's this what they call smoking as well. They were smoking the whole way over, and the stewards knew they were smoking because you could see it rising up in the aisle. Like, they were standing, puffing away, and there was nothing said.
They did not care.
And I know there's been flights diverted before for people puffing in the bathroom. So how was this flight any different to any other flight?
Mm.
But as soon as he started getting abusive, then
for the second
with this
time,
other fella, there was a boy behind me, and he said, "We're going to have to do something here because this is going to get completely out of hand." Like, so I was like I was only one seat away from him. There's a woman sitting beside me, and then I was sitting there, and me and the guy in front, the two of us got up and had to step in, and basically just kept walking and talking to him till we got him away down the back of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And he was having none of it. Like, and I said, just, you're only going to make things worse if you touch any of us. Like, and I asked the air steward, one of the ones, I says, what happens if he hits us, if we act in self-defense? I says, we could end up being the one that's arrested.
Mm.
And they said, no, it's okay. Thanks for your help and all that there. I thought when we arrived then that the doors would open and on would come the Spanish police. Absolutely nothing.
Did he get leery with you, Stuart? Was he threatening you? So because there was two of you and you had that confidence, he all of a sudden went from punching his girlfriend to being a chicken?
I don't know. Once somebody stood up to him, he seemed like step back then. I think maybe he kind of realised that, like I said, you're going to get arrested, and I says, don't make things worse for yourself and just stay at the back of the plane, do what they're telling you and get off the plane. If you're arrested, tell them you were drinking, whatever. Just get away from, just try to defuse the situation. But I mean, the air staff done nothing to defuse it, absolutely nothing. But then again, they're not trained for that. This is the whole crack. Like, it's not, I see it from their point of view. They're only, like, there were young girls, and the guy, like, he was only like he would like be 10, 11 stone. Like, he wouldn't be a very big fella. But they're not there to be bouncers on a plane. Like, it's
but
it's
when you think about it, well, the amount of booze, listen, everyone probably who drinks has that it's 5 o'clock somewhere pint in the airport.
Myself but
you should not be allowed on the plane if you're drunk, and you certainly shouldn't be allowed to drink like that on the plane with no security.
Well, they were drinking the whole time.
Yeah.
See, when he got to the other side, then when he stepped out of that airport, the boys that he had been aggressive with on the flight, they jumped him outside and they absolutely left him in a mess. He was left in a hospital state. Like,
so in other words, it might have been better off if the Spanish police had boarded that plane as soon as it landed.
He would have been far better off had Ryanair have done the protocol and got him arrested. He'd have been far better off.
Wow. So he got a hiding. He got a hiding at the airport, did he?
He got his forehead. He's scarred for life. His whole forehead was all bust, and his ribs were broken. Because I was speaking to him the following night. Because Lanzarote's not a big place, like, and bumped into him, and his girlfriend came over and started speaking to me and thanked me very much, and he was apologising away, like, and he said, oh, that should never have happened, and I said, I know it should never have happened, but he wouldn't go to the hospital. He was afraid if he went to the hospital that he'd be arrested himself.
So he wasn't arrested at all?
No. It was on the news. It was on the Lanzarote news about the scrap outside the airport, and the police watched the whole thing happen there at the airport. They'd done nothing as well once it happened.
Well, I suppose
the whole thing was bizarre from start to finish. And, I mean, there was an old man and a woman, and they met me coming off the plane, and they were ever so thankful.
Yeah.
And but she didn't want to ever fly again. And I said, don't be silly. I said, that's a once-in-a-lifetime.
I wonder, did he get the flight back? Because whatever about the police not going near him, surely the Ryanair have protocols in terms of...
There's no protocol, I would say, unless he got done on the way out. Like, sure, what are they going to do with him? Like, he should be banned from flying any of these airlines again. Like, his name, because, I don't know, you hear people trying to open doors on planes, and you hear of all these different things that happen. Like, he was that, like, you'd nearly call him possessed. Like, he just went completely loopy.
You just wonder if the reality is if the airlines rely on passengers to intervene. Not saying it's written down anywhere, not saying it's official, but I wonder, do they rely on the likes of yourself, Stuart, to get up and intervene in a situation like this? Because it's clear, really.
Well, it was the last thing I planned on doing. I was planning on going away and having a relaxing holiday, like, and it took a few days for the, you know, to get you settled down after something like that happened.
I can imagine. And did Ryanair reach out to you at all since, even by way of a thank you, not necessarily to promise they'll do this, that,
nothing.
And done?
Absolutely nothing. I've tried contacting them, and I know there was other people on the flight have contacted them, because there were some of them even doing their message on the plane to forward to Ryanair as soon as they got off the plane. But as I say, everybody's expecting this guy to be arrested.
Can you imagine getting on a plane in Manchester, causing that level of disruption, getting off the plane, getting a hiding, and then just carrying on with your holiday with your girlfriend? I can't put myself in any position where that scenario would play out for me. But anyway, it's bizarre.
Well, it's her I worried about more than anybody else, because that's what he's going to be like on a plane full of people.
Was he violent towards her, Stuart? Like, was he actually striking her?
Oh, he was, yeah. Oh, you want it? He called,
I can
that
imagine.
Was the worst part of it, having to listen to what all he calls her, like, and she's the three kids together, like,
because
she was like, we were trying to calm her down, and she was saying, like, what am I going to do? And I says, like, to be honest, like, you're far better off never looking at him again, like, if that's the way that he reacts
in public on a plane.
Well, when he done it in public, like, you know what's happening in private. Obviously, he's not a good bird, like.
All right, okay. As you say,
I'm quite willing for Ryanair to. If you can get in contact with them and say to them, like, obviously they're trying to play it down, because, I mean...
Well, the second wave happened, is not even discussed in the press release, if the truth
no.
be told.
Happened twice.
Yeah.
And it didn't just happen twice in the space of 10 minutes. Like, there's a good gap between, I would say, nearly an hour between the first time that happened, and then when he came back up the plane again, storming up the plane like a madman.
Well, listen, I mean, obviously Ryanair are going to lean very heavily on the testimony of the staff, you know. But did the pilot intervene at any point? Did he come out over
Tannoy? The pilot, I think he's the man that's in charge of a flight, because when you're in international airspace like that, I think the law's a bit shady, but I think the pilot is the man he's in charge. So it's obviously being conveyed to him what to do next.
Okay.
And you know yourself, they're in a busy schedule. They have to land in Lanzarote. They have 10 minutes to clean the plane and fill her up again and take her back home again. Like, you start landing in Portugal or
That this has got publicity and stuff. You just wonder, is it a case that they're so used to this kind of crap happening? Do you know what I mean? Be it the Spanish police, who don't want to have to deal with it in Lanzarote because it's, you know, boozy Brits or boozy Irish, whatever it might be. Maybe they're so used to it, they'll sort it out themselves.
I flew for Manchester because it was so much cheaper to leave Belfast, go to Manchester and fly out.
That's another interview altogether, but yeah, I get you.
I know.
All right, Stuart, listen, fascinating stuff. Fair play to you because, you know, there's a risk in everything that we do. Stuart, thanks for your time. Do appreciate it. Lovely to chat to you, by the way. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the local enterprise office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
You're very welcome back. It is Business Matters time, and in studio with me now is the one and only Chris Ashmore. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Right, we'll get to the thrust of the podcast, which is available right now in a moment, but let's catch up on some news. And we were just talking about a boozy flight. Excise duty on booze. What's the story?
Yes, now there was a survey just released by Core Research. Now, this is behalf of the Drinks Industry Group of Ireland. And essentially, this ties in with a pre-budget submission and a call for lower excise duties, which is not being flagged by the government. And I don't think anybody is expecting it. They're saying it'll help with the costs for the industry. But out of the survey, you know, some of the headline figures, you know, 70% of people enjoy going to the pub to socialise. 82% cite the restaurant as an enjoyable way to get out and meet people. But let's have a look at the actual excise duties. Surprise, surprise, the report shows that Ireland currently has the second highest excise tax on wine in the EU. The third highest...
Sorry, don't drink that.
The third highest on beer and the third highest on spirits.
Yeah, so, don't drink that either.
Couple of examples, right? So let's take a bottle of Irish produced whiskey. The excise tax here is four times higher in Ireland than it is in Spain. So when you're on your holidays and you see in Spain in the supermarket, you can get a bottle of whiskey for what, 10, 11, 12 euros, something like that. So the Irish consumer is paying about 12 euro in tax and excise duties compared to their Spanish counterparts who pay only 2.69 in tax. A huge difference. Then on top of that, there's VAT. So the government is getting something in the region of 30 to 35% of the price. So, you know, that just puts it in perspective. Glass of wine, Greg. Mm-hmm. If you're getting a glass of wine here, you're paying 80 cents per glass in excise duty. 15 countries in the EU pay no excise on wine whatsoever. And in France, they pay 1 cent. So that's why it's so much dearer here.
But yeah, I get that. But then there's the price variation. So I was in Dublin recently, a pint 8.50, and I was in the Harbour Bar not so long ago, and I think a pint was a fiver. I got a soft drink with it, so I'm not sure. So that's 3.50. Yeah, I mean, so we can blame the government and have a go at the government and all that kind of stuff, and quite rightly so, where it's deserved. But that's at least a 3 euro, potentially a 3.50 euro in the price of the same pint of beer in Dublin versus Donegal.
Yeah, but that's not just an Irish thing. I remember being on holidays once in the south of France, and we went into a well-known branded hotel. This was quite a few years ago, and it was 11 euro for a pint, 7 euro for a bottle of beer, 8 euro
Where
for a
this?
Bailey's. Nice.
And, not very nice, is it?
Just a few streets in, if you went to the back street bar, you were getting it way cheaper.
Could have been dishwater there, though.
No.
But the thing is, as you see, like, it's like the hotels, though. Like, if I'm the Minister for Finance or whatever it might be, like, why should I reward hotels or pubs in Dublin gouging the living daylights out of the tourists and the general population? £8.50 for a pint. You know, we've got to the point now where if we get a hotel room in Dublin for £250, you think it's good value. Mm. That's how we've been conditioned. I said that to someone, oh, we got the room for £250. It was factored into the whole price. And they were like, £250? Do you know what I mean? Yet up here, right, up here, there's all the businesses with much of the same overheads. They're charging £5.50 for a pint, depending on the pint. You can get a hotel room, £120, relatively routinely. Saturday nights, obviously. But my point being is that the government might say, well, why should we do anything to help these people in Dublin and other cities gouging the population? And I think if I were a hotelier or a pub owner up here, I'd be fuming, because that's what the tourists see when they come into Ireland as well.
And the other thing is, let's just say the government did reduce the excise tax by 15%. Is there any guarantee it's going to be passed on?
I think our listeners might make their own judgment call in relation to that. All right, cruise sector.
It's a lucrative business, the cruise sector. After COVID, it took quite a hit, of course. Things getting back to pre-COVID levels. The latest cruise liner to visit Donegal was the Silver Spirit, which anchored off Greencastle there recently. It was her inaugural visit to the Northwest region. Also called at Killybegs, was part of a 12-day cruise taking in Iceland and Ireland. And people on board, they got a chance when they visited Greencastle to go on a tour of the Inishowen Peninsula, a stop at the Doe Famine Village, a visit to Oakfield Park in Raphoe, trips to Derry. So a lot of people getting a glimpse of Donegal.
Glimpse, though, as I'd like to see. And I think there are plans, and there should be plans, to have a dedicated sort of visitor centre or something in Inishowen. Because there's no point people sitting in a bus and driving through on the way to Derry. We need them to be able
stop.
To.
Exactly.
And the same in Killybegs, heading to Slieve League and Donegal Town. Great for those two areas, but Killybegs has to reap the benefits as well. News on housing, Chris?
Yes, always just keeping an eye on planning permissions. And Donegal County Council has granted conditional planning permission to Long Marsh Development Limited for the construction of 34 houses at the beaches in Navanie Balbafay, and in a separate planning decision, approval also granted for another 6 dwellings just adjacent to that. You can still have an appeal process. That's up to August the 22nd, but a not insignificant number in the Navanie area of Balbafay.
And some dates for the diary.
Yeah, just to let you know, a couple of things coming up in August at the local enterprise office in Donegal is running several events. There's a business support clinic online via Zoom. That's on Friday, August the 9th from 10 to 11 o'clock. Wednesday, August the 14th, a trading online voucher workshop. Friday the 23rd, a business support clinic. All the details, you can go to the local enterprise office Donegal website or Facebook page, find out more about that. And there's always something coming down
for
the track.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And what's coming down the track after this break is a preview of today's Business Matters. Chris Ashmore's with me. We're talking now about the Business Matters podcast from Highland Radio. It's live for you to listen at your leisure now, available on our website. Who's the guest this week, Chris?
My guest this week is a man called Stephen McPeak, who is the CEO of Civic Dollars. He's the brains behind this project. It's been extended in Donegal. And essentially, it's a rewards program that uses technology to encourage people to get out and about and be healthier and to go to parks and open spaces around Donegal. And they can actually get credits for rewards and then cash them in. So in this clip, we can hear from Stephen just what the business is all about.
It's a pretty simple concept, actually. It's just trying to use technology to encourage people to spend more time outdoors in parks and open spaces within the region. So we went on the basis of the Civic Dollars route, that people could earn a Civic Dollar for every 30 minutes they spent outdoors in these open spaces. And we wanted to be more inclusive, so we built it around time. So all you have to do is go to a park and spend some time there. We don't care whether you walk, run, cycle, or just sit at a park bench. You can still earn a Civic Dollar for every 30 minutes you spend there, which goes into the app on the phone, and you can build up your Civic Dollars and then use it for rewards for yourself, like discounts of local coffee shops, local businesses. But then the big thing for us is the ability to be able to donate your civic dollars to local community groups and charities within the region. We began with the pilot at the end of last year, where we just had five parks activated within the county, including the one in Letterkenny, the town park, Swan Park in Mudcranna, and Rogie down in Bundoran, and a few other ones. But that's now expanded into a two-year contract with the council, and we now have over 80 zones where people can earn civic dollars in their parks, avail of the rewards, or help their local community as well.
Now, we did a piece on this some time ago, and I think it was during a trial phase. It's now being rolled out quite extensively, Chris, and it's a real thing. It's not just a little initiative that they're trying out in Donegal here. This is a big operation, and should be taken seriously, I think.
Absolutely. It began, as you say, a pilot project. It was just five places around Donegal. Now we're talking in excess of 80. It's been extended now for another couple of years. And if you just Google civil dollars and go into your on your phone, you download the app. And if you're out for a walk, it could be on the Dunloe River Walk, and it automatically will come on when
and
you start.
And my understanding is as well, because people have different levels of ability and what have you, that that's actually factored in. In other words, you get rewards even if maybe you can't actively walk.
Exactly.
So and this is in that regard, it's inclusive.
Absolutely. You don't have to go out and do X amount at such a pace. You're getting the credit here for actually just being outside for 30 minutes, and you could just be walking around, sitting here, moving about. But it's all to encourage healthier lifestyles. And then when you accumulate your points, you can get discounts, for example, off a coffee. And also there's a lot of charities that have come on board with it, and you can give your allocation towards them. And
brilliant.
So,
listen to it. It's the full interviews with Chris on the podcast. Stephen Peake, very impressive too, MacPeak, in that he's developed this technology to the point whereby he's able to sell it out. Do you know what I mean? So he's obviously a very clever fella, and it's obviously working elsewhere. So search out civil dollars. But before that, listen to the podcast in full. You can download it or stream it right now on our website. Or Chris, listen to it on the radio.
That's right. It'll be on after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday. And if you want to contact me, as always, email address businessmatters@highlandradio.com. I'm off to read the All-Ireland Rail Review.
Yeah, wow. And just put complaints in the subject line too. It'd be really funny if you got about 10 complaints. No, I'm only joking. Yes, that's your. You'll just need a quiet, darkened room to read that rail review. All right, Chris. Thanks very much for that. Just time to, before we go, to give you a final reminder of our Daleside Garden giveaway. Thanks to Daleside Garden Furniture, we're giving you the chance to win a beautiful wooden garden shed. Choose from three sizes, options to perfectly fit your garden needs. Daleside Garden Furniture Lifford is renowned for their high quality, durable and stylish outdoor furniture, perfect for enhancing any garden space. View their full collection now at dalesidegardenfurniture.ie. To win this amazing prize, simply head over to our social channels and follow the steps. The winner will be announced on Wednesday, July 31st. That's a little later today. Please be aware of fake pages. Highland Radio will never ask you to click on any links to enter or claim your prize. Good luck. You won't get a message saying you've won the Highland competition. We can't do anything about it. People have no scruples. But you'll know. We'll contact you, and you won't be clicking on anything. Stay tuned. John Bretton's coming up around the Northwest shortly. David James is in Dunloe for the Merrifield Dunloe Festival with a very special jive time and some brilliant guests. We're there Friday. And after that, loads of great programme, Ivan and all the crew as well. Have a great day, everybody.